Welcome to American Indian and Alaskan Native Living, a program designed to educate and inspire listeners throughout Indian country. American Indian and Alaskan Native Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he is here today to help you learn more about your health. Here is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We are here in this very exciting venue in Orlando, Florida. We're at the ASI International Convention, summer of 2025, and we are visiting with people from literally all over the world. I've got a couple of young ladies sitting across from me right now representing a Native school that is in Canada, and one of them, Bella, has graciously agreed to be the spokesperson for the two of them. Bella, it's great to have you with us on the show.
I'm glad I can be here. It's very an honor to be here. Thank you.
You ladies have a booth here. You're representing a Native school. Tell us a little bit about the school and where it is.
Yes. So the school is located in Ponoka, Alberta, Canada, and that is just the central Alberta. We have about 260 students now, and from the principal, that is the most we have gotten yet, but I think we're going to get more to come each year. We have K-5 to grade 12. It's a full-on Indigenous school, and we also go with curriculars like the Bible, Bible study, and all of that with our daily studying, but also we incorporate teachings from our community, our land-based teachings, and our traditional teachings as well.
So you grew up right in that area, is that safe to say?
Yes, I am just about 10 minutes out from the school. We are very close in the community.
Tell us a little bit about your tribal roots.
We are Plains Cree from Treaty 6 of Canada.
So a lot of folks don't know the terminology that you use up in Canada for Indigenous peoples, but you actually grew up right in that community. Were you on, do they call it reserves up there? Is that?
Yes, reserves. But short term, the kids in the community, we just call it short res.
Okay. So just like whether you're down here in the lower 48 or Canada, it's the res.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to the res. That's how it is.
Okay. So that's your background, and there's this school. Is the school actually on the reserve?
Unfortunately not. It's just on the outskirts of the reserve, but it's located on Ponoka, which is just the next town over. So okay. It is very close to the community, but just not inside of it.
And am I understanding correctly, the students who attend there are pretty much exclusively Native?
Oh, absolutely, yes. All of the students have Indigenous backgrounds.
Okay, so very, very interesting school because it's operated by an outside entity, but it's especially there for Native youth. Now, you have a very interesting story because you grew up in this community. Tell us the name of the school, first of all.
The school we are representing is Mamawe Atoskitin Native School.
Okay, now, I confided with you ladies before the show. I've heard of Mamawe Atoskitin for many years. I still don't think I pronounce it correctly. You guys have been trying to give me some lessons here before the show.
You know what? You're getting pretty close.
But it actually means something in the Cree language.
Oh,
what
yes.
does it mean?
It means working together, Native school. So we have this program actually called Inspire Mamawe, and it's called Inspire Working.
Okay. So you actually had the opportunity, Bella, to attend the school, but you also had other options for Native education that were right on the reserve. Am I understanding that correctly? And you came to a point in life where you had to make a decision. Where did you choose to go to school?
I decided to do school in my community. And I think that is based on my connection with the school itself, my connection with my friends, and just my connection with this guy. I don't want to say that it's like different teachings, but I really enjoyed the atmosphere and the chaoticness. I know a lot of people don't like chaoticness, but I personally loved it at the school. So I just really enjoyed a lot of people in the school, and I just enjoyed being friendly and open with everyone there.
Okay, so what I hear you saying is you knew about Mamawe Atoskitin, and you're involved with this school now, which is operated by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But you said, you know, as a high school student myself, I'm going to go to this local school. And you kind of interesting how you described it. You said it was more chaotic. So
yes.
I'm assuming you feel like it's a more peaceful environment at Mamawe Atoskitin.
Oh, absolutely. Very peaceful, very chill. They're very, like, it's not chaotic.
Okay.
They Yeah, it's not chaotic at all compared to the private schools in the community. It's compared to like 600 kids to like 200 kids. It's a big difference, but I personally enjoyed a lot of people in my surroundings.
So why I love your story is because, you know, we've been featuring a number of educational institutions here at ASI. And, you know, some people think, oh, well, DeRose has these people on because he thinks everybody should go to a Christian school or go to a school that has this philosophy. So I love the fact that you resonate with the values of Mauwea Tuscaten, but you're saying, well, it's not for everyone. It's an option. And the school that you're representing here in Alberta is actually a day school, right? It's not a boarding school, correct?
Yeah, it's a day school.
So tell us what you're doing now with the school.
Right now, I'm working with the chaplain. We do youth development programs in the community, and we're focusing now on summer youth employment for the high school students. Last year, we started this team for the students. We had about 8 students. And this year we upped up to 15 students. So we have part-time and full-time. They do construction. They do youth development programs with the community like us, like soccer camp, VBS, community service, all of that. And we're teaching them to do leadership, teamwork, and determination.
I love the practical emphasis that many of the programs we've been featuring here have had. And so really hearing this, and I know when you and I were speaking off air before we sat behind the mics, you were saying you're getting really excited about a new program that you're going to be offering the students. Now, some might feel a little bit uncomfortable with this. What is the new area of training that you're offering there?
Me and my pastor were talking about starting a new beekeeping course. He is a part-time beekeeper, like I like to say. He doesn't like to say that, but he's a beekeeper. And we provide the honey within the community and the school. And I think that would be a very good opportunity for the students to learn how to take care of bees and just do environmental stuff. And the other program I'm very interested in, and it's not up on ground, but it is talks about it, and I'm very interested about it, is doing natural remedies, home remedies, very natural resource to help with health and beauty within the community. So we can kind of separate ourselves from the pharmaceutical area of life. Yeah, I think just because back then, we were very land-based teachings, very close to the environmental stuff in the world. I would love to get back to our roots. And I want to show them that there's more out there with our culture, because I feel like we're very limited. But we have so much more to learn and so much more to see within our community that we're kind of blinded by from modern things in the world.
So folks are listening to you. I know you have a little bit of radio experience. And you're sharing, you know, with passion. A lot of folks may be wondering, well, how old is this young lady? Are you willing to disclose your age for us?
I am 21 years old.
I think it's exciting.
Yes, I'm very thankful for the opportunities that I've gotten in the life that I have. I couldn't be here without my pastor and without the support of my church and the support with my family. I am beyond thankful. I feel like I have no words to show the gratitude that I have.
No, and I can see that in you. I can see your passion for other young people and how you, and I did have a chance to meet the chaplain. He has some interesting background too, having roots in Africa and indigenous roots there. And now ending up in Alberta, working with Cree Nation, other Native American tribes. So here's one of the questions, Bella, that often comes up. For a young lady, 21 years of age, there's a lot of things you could be doing that many people would say, hey, you got, you know, great opportunities out there. You know, you can see the world, do things. Why would you choose to stay right where you're at and work with a school that, as large as it is by, you know, private native school standards, still is pretty small fish in a big pond when it comes to all opportunities in the world? What gave you that vision to stay by and try to give back to your community?
I would say it's heavily based on the students. I feel like I know how it is to live in the community and to experience the normal experiences in the community. It could be very toxic. And I just have a passion to let them have a safe space to talk about the religion, because in the community, there's still some skepticism of the church. And that's just from like generational past, but I want to show them that God is good and that he loves everyone. And the past is so unfortunate, of course, but the future is bright with God. And I see a future with these kids. And I know that it's hard to be in the community with like certain stuff, and it could be dangerous, but I'm just looking to build a safe space within the community. And I know these kids personally, like I have relationships with them, and some of them are my nieces and nephews, and some of them are even my cousins within the community. So I have this strong pull to help them do better in life, but also to see that there is so much more to life that they could do. And it's not limited. They're not limited. And when I was in the community younger, I thought I was limited with stuff to reach out. But once I kind of got into church and knew that I had support, I can feel like I can reach for the stars now. And I want them to feel the same way I feel of like the sky is the limit. Like you can do so much more in life.
I so appreciate what I'm hearing is a consistent message from a lot of the folks here who are working in Indian country, many First Nation peoples. I hear this narrative that a lot of them feel Christianity was terribly misrepresented by people that called themselves Christians, oppression, all kinds of things that were done in, quote, the name of God. And I just see people like yourself saying, no, if you really get to know the creator that I've gotten to know, you'd see that it adds something to your life.
Yes.
And so I really appreciate you taking your energy and your enthusiasm and trying to inspire other young people at the high school age that this is a resource for you. It's not something you should be running from, even though there's some pretty dark chapters in people that have called themselves Christian. You're especially working with summer programming. Tell us some things that have excited you, maybe a student or two, not mentioning them by name, of course, but something that you saw something click or something they got inspired with.
So a few weeks ago, I was at Alberta camp meeting and we were with the students there. They were doing construction. They were building a gazebo for their project of doing Inspire Mom Away. And there is this one girl, I'm very close with her, and she's going through a very tough time right now. But she's still clinging on to hope. And something about that is just so beautiful of like being in the midst of a storm, but still holding on to hope. And that kind of realized that like, as long as the kids have support and someone to lean on, that they can go far in life. So I think her story and her little moment at the Alberta camp meeting made me realize that sometimes the kids, all they need is just support and encouragement.
I think this is so beautiful. So many of us find ourselves, whatever age we are, in places that are kind of dark, challenging, difficult. And what I hear you saying, Bella, is that you're really helping build resiliency
These
young people, saying there's people here who are by your side. We've got reason to be hopeful. We don't need to give up. And then just to see that clicking in the life of a young person is inspiring. Now, there's a lot of folks who tune into the show. We're on over a couple hundred stations on a number of networks. So most of them are never going to be able to visit your school. Even though I've been in Alberta, even recently lecturing at a university there, never got to swing by your campus there. So that's still a deficiency in my life experience. But for those who will never be at your school, never be in your community, never be able to benefit from some of the programming that you're doing for kids there, what kind of messages would you give to young people? If you say two key takeaways to young people or people older, maybe they're going through something difficult right now, what would you encourage them with?
I think being very open with your hearts and your minds of other cultures and other people. I think if you're open, then there's so many possibilities and opportunities that can come into your life. And who knows where that could take you? It could take you to the best of the world.
Beautiful, beautiful. Mamawaya Tuskaten is the name of the school. It's a native school in Alberta, Canada. You've been very gracious to pull away from the booth. And just one last question. Any interesting encounters at the booth? Are people getting excited about what you're doing?
Oh, absolutely. It's very shocking to see people come to our booth and not know that the school existed or is even there. But it's very beautiful to see that they're very interested and intrigued to know what we do and what we serve.
Bella, I'm inspired by your example. You've had some good moral support here across the table with you.
I'm thankful for my sister.
And thank you so much for what you're doing. Continued success.
Thank you so much. It has been a pleasure. Thank you for giving me the opportunity and a platform to talk about the school that we represent and our community. Thank you so much.
We have to step away just briefly. We're going to continue today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I've got some other great guests lined up. You don't want to miss what's coming up. I'm Dr. DeRose. Stay by. We'll be back with more.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please reach out to us on the web at aianl.org. That stands for American Indian Alaska Native Living. Again, aianl.org. Or you can call us at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
We are strong, we are resilient, and we will get through this together. But these are stressful times, and it's important to also practice good self-care. It's normal to feel overwhelmed, anxious, or afraid, but there is hope. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, stay in touch with your community, and know that you are not alone. Learn more at wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
When Jim died, I wondered if I would be able to keep the farm. Then I heard about the USDA's loan program for socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers. It's for women and minorities who may be having trouble getting credit. Once I was approved, the USDA's Farm Service Agency helped me get the credit I needed. Now I don't have to sell, and I can pass the farm down to my kids the way Jim's dad passed it down to him. I know he'd like that.
Contact your local USDA service center or visit www.fsa.usda.gov.
Social Security is with you through life's journey from birth to retirement. As your life changes year to year, so do your needs. For over 80 years, Social Security has helped to meet your needs and is committed to improving access to the services that make a difference in your life. Today, you can verify your earnings, estimate your future benefits, apply for retirement, manage your benefits, and even change your address, all from the comfort of your home. Social Security's online services help put you in control with secure access to your information anytime, anywhere, allowing you to spend more time with family, friends, or simply just enjoying the day. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We are broadcasting, we're recording from this exciting venue with a lot of activity. It's ASI 2025 in Orlando, Florida. We've been especially talking with folks who are making a difference in Indian country, people who are working with health programming, educational programming, and across from me is someone who's making a big difference as far as natural healing, especially in the Western U.S., Shaniel Fisher. It's sure great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Dr. DeRose. It is a joy to be here, and it's a wonderful thing that is going on here at ASI. Great to see you, and I'm so happy for what you're doing for the American Indian and Native Alaskan, you know, people on your radio show. This is beautiful.
No, it's exciting, and it's wonderful to rub shoulders with people in Indian country, as well as talking with folks like you. I know
yes.
You're touching people really throughout the world at Eden Valley. Just an anecdote for you, as well as for my listeners. So when I graduated from medical school in Southern California, I had heard about these innovative lifestyle centers where people would come and live and they'd focus on health problems and there'd be a medical team that would help them make intensive changes. And one of the places that was on my radar screen that I'd never been to was a place called Eden Valley in Colorado. And so on my way back to the Midwest from Southern California, I stopped by Eden Valley and was very impressed by the facility there. You are now the president of Eden Valley Institute. Tell us, for someone who knows nothing about what you do, just what happens at your institution.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And I'm very happy that you were able to visit and see a little bit what we do there. So for those who don't know Eden Valley, we have a wellness center there. I'll talk a little bit about that later. We also have a farm that we have farm interns that comes and they learn about the farm on the job. They learn with our farm team how to grow, but more than the internship, we supply 8 farmers markets with our produce.
8 farmers markets?
8 local farmers markets.
Wow.
In the area of Loveland, Fort Collins, Estes Park, Boulder, Cheyenne, heading off toward Wyoming. So this is a beautiful thing that we do. We also have a medical missionary training program. And that is a 6-month missionary training program where people come, they learn about health. Young people wants to go back and serve in other countries or right here in the U.S. They're able to learn about health and the Bible, and they're trained, and then they go back to impact their communities. And lastly, we do have a health food store right there on the campus as well, which carries a wide array of health foods. So those are the main entities right there at Eden Valley.
So there's a lot of folks that pass through the gates, if you will, of Eden Valley. I was one of them years ago. And folks, I hear talking about Eden Valley, just in the circles I'm in, most for intensive health programs. Tell us a little bit about why people would leave anywhere in the country or the world and travel to probably fly into Denver maybe and then drive up to your facility.
Yeah, so yes, flying definitely into Denver. It's 1 hour and 15 minutes from our facility. We are 35 minutes from the Rocky Mountains. So we're right at the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. But you know, if I would say, why would someone want to come to Eden Valley for especially that, the health retreat, the 2-week, we have a 14-day lifestyle program where we're helping people to change their lifestyle. They are learning the things that, knowing you, some of the things you teach on healthy living and lifestyle change. But those with conditions, especially cancers, comes to our center because we use various herbs to help the people. We also are using hyperthermia baths. We can talk about that a little later. But yes, we're using these hot fever baths, we call them, to help to boost up the immune system, hyperbaric, oxygenated therapy. That's one that is a really good therapy that people really enjoy. They do feel like there's more oxygen in their blood by using that. And their diet, a lot of our food straight from the farm.
Very nice.
Farm to table, as we call it.
Very nice.
So straight from the farm, you're getting a lot of your veggies, but also your fruits. We have about 1/2 acre of raspberries.
Oh, wow.
Growing there. So the guests are able to get their raspberries fresh in the mornings for breakfast, and strawberries. We have 12,000 plants of strawberries there right now.
12,000?
That is correct. And so just the beauty of the place alone helps and enhance healing. So it's an amazing setup that God has given here at Eden Valley.
I love the concept. I think back some years ago, I had a friend who actually was diagnosed with cancer, went through the standard therapy, and he said, I want to do more, though. I want to do all that I can do to improve my immune system, to get on a healthy lifestyle. And somehow he learned about Eden Valley and went out there. And I know he had a very good experience from what he shared.
That's right. And, you know, actually, I'm just at Eden Valley now almost 4 years. So before that, I've worked in some other institutions, health ministries. And when I arrived at Eden Valley, I asked, how did you guys get into, you know, dealing with cancer and helping, especially with cancer patients? And they told me the way it got started was someone that had a amazing experience at Eden Valley with cancer. They went there for cancer, the lifestyle changes, everything was so good. They went back and their doctors, they couldn't find the cancer anymore. Mm. He was doing so well, still alive today. We're talking
Wonderful.
About maybe 15 years ago.
Wow.
And still alive. And then he went back and he was sharing a testimony on 3ABN about what God did for him. And the phones went off for those with cancer, started calling Eden Valley. Even though Eden Valley wasn't renowned for cancer, I learned because of this experience, the phones started going off. People asked, how can I come? My family member has cancer. I have cancer. And so the protocol had to be completely changed up so that we can facilitate cancer patients. And now it has evolved more into helping a lot of these conditions, a wide array of conditions, but especially we do have a special cancer protocol, and that has been a blessing to people.
Now, that brings up one of the questions, because a lot of these lifestyle centers have been well known for many years for diabetes, diabetic complications, heart disease, high blood pressure. and someone's listening to our interview right now and they say, well, that's great to know about cancer, but I don't know that I want to go to a facility with a bunch of people dying of cancer if I'm just dealing with diabetes. Do you get that concern?
We get that when they're on the phone, and then we help them to realize, no, we deal with diabetes as well, hypertension, overweight, stress management, just a lot of the typical diseases that we know today, right? The lifestyle diseases, we see people come all the time with that. And every session, we have to have a good ratio of cancer patients with the other patients, because we're not able to deal with a large amount of cancer patients in the same session. And therefore, we mix it up, and they're always just, they get along so well, because those without cancer are very touched with what some with cancers are dealing with, and they're able to share some wonderful relationships. So for those who may be wondering or has a concern regarding going there where a lot of cancer patients, you may not have to worry about that, because we do have a good mixture. And you, perhaps someone with diabetes, can be a good influence on a person with cancer and encourage them. And at Eden Valley, we also take patients that are mobile. So if a person has a cancer, whatever condition, and they can't walk around and move around, we're not able to take them, because our session has a lot to do with exercise and movement. So all guests are mobile, so they all can move around freely. And that's a beautiful thing. They get to fellowship and share together.
So it's not a hospital.
No.
Okay, but you do have medical staff on site, and it's a medically driven program, right?
Yes. Medically driven program, medical staff on site, but our operations is different from the hospital. The guests are there, they all see the physician, they get their medical rounds. We have licensed massage therapists that gives massage to them in a unique way. We have the hydrotherapist and all trained people that are ministering to them during their time there at Eden Valley.
Now, there's a lot of folks who've heard not only about the lifestyle programs for those who are ill, but they caught that you at Eden Valley have an educational program. We don't have a lot of time, but if you could kind of give us in broad strokes, who might be someone who should be thinking about at least checking out the website and learning more about that program?
Yeah, so if you're wanting to be more involved in mission, you want to serve in right here in the U.S. or in a foreign country, but you just want some basic information, understanding of medical missionary work, that's what we offer there at Eden Valley. So you learn on the basics of the human body, AMP, diseases, and how to help people naturally with those diseases. You learn about massage, hydrotherapy, nutrition, those kind of things, and then Bible classes. So there's 6 months that you're learning missionary training. We have health expos that you're learning how to do. But yeah, on our website, that is eden-valley.org. You jump on that and you're able to find lots more information about our missionary training program.
So if I go to eden-valley.org,
yes,
then I can learn about all the programs you talked about today?
All the programs. You will see services on the top of the website. And once you click that, you're able to see the Lifestyle Center, Medical Missionary, and all the farm programs right there.
This is wonderful. Shaniel, I know you've got a busy booth here at the venue. Thanks so much for pulling away, sharing your enthusiasm for Eden Valley with my listeners.
Hey, it's great to be here, Dr. DeRose. It's my joy. And yes, it's a joy to help people around the world.
We do have to step away. I'm Dr. David DeRose. The show is American Indian and Alaska Native Living. We're going to be back with more great interviews from the venue of ASI 2025 in Orlando, Florida. Stay tuned. I'm Dr. DeRose. We will be right back.
American Indian and Alaska Native Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please contact us on the web at aianl.org or call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
A message from the National Police Association. It used to be that any able-bodied person would offer to assist a police officer in danger. Now, passersby are more likely to take a video. There's a better use for your phone when an officer's in trouble. Call 911. Tell the operator where you are and what you see. Then, start your video to provide evidence later. To learn more about how you can assist law enforcement, visit nationalpolice.org. That's nationalpolice.org.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. Depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you can't measure it on your bathroom scale. Sorting out a mental health concern is not something to attempt on your own. You won't find a bipolar disorder by looking at a thermometer. Like many other health conditions, help for mental illness takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a stick-on bandage. So the sooner you seek treatment, the better. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. Find out what to do. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support. That's samhsa.gov/support.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to our second half of today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I am Dr. David DeRose. I have got an exciting guest in front of me, Kayleen Weircox, Dr. Kayleen Weircox. Kayleen, it's great to have you with us.
It's good to be here.
You are heading up another lifestyle center. We just featured Eden Valley, and I was sharing with my listeners that as a young, I just graduated from medical school, I had heard about these lifestyle centers and wanted to visit some of them. A number of them were around back then and still are around. Eden Valley was one of them. I also, on that trip, if I'm not creating a false memory, stopped at your institution, UT Pines Institute there in Seal, Alabama. Tell us a little bit about UT Pines, where you're at and what you guys are all about.
As you said, UT Pines Institute is in Seal, Alabama, and your audience, their ears might perk up by that name, UT Pines. We do have some Indian heritage in UT Pines Institute. The founders, Agatha Thrash and Calvin Thrash, had some Indian heritage, and also one of our administrator's assistants was a UT Indian.
Oh, okay.
And so, yes, and so we have that tie to the UT area in UT Pines Institute. But UT Pines Institute is one of the wellness centers that is operating here in the United States, and we are in Seal, Alabama.
And it's a beautiful facility. I've been there. I was there in the old days before you had this, I say new facility. It's probably, 10, 15 years old now?
It's about 15 years old now.
Okay. Well, that definitely dates my encounters with UT Pines. But I've always enjoyed the campus, very peaceful there. And I also remember amazing farms. Do you still run such a nice farm there?
Yes, we have a wonderful farm right in the middle of the campus. And our farm manager, Andrew, does an amazing job. The orchard is amazing, and all of the produce that we're getting from there, it's wonderful.
I think it's so exciting. And I know you have a similar philosophy as Eden Valley, where you actually try to grow much of the food you're serving the folks that come through your program.
Exactly. That fresh farm-to-table food, nothing can beat it. And that is exactly what we're trying to do, supply as much as possible from the farm to the table of our guests.
So many of us find ourselves in a field that is now called lifestyle medicine. I've been doing that long before people were calling it that. And a lot of my peers who are in this line come from primary care specialty background. So my training is internal medicine. I also have boards in preventive medicine, family practice.
Right.
Some of the common
career paths into lifestyle medicine. You are an MD as well, but you have a more unconventional path. Tell us a little bit about your story.
Yes, you can kind of call it unconventional. Yes, my specialty, board certified in general surgery, and had no thoughts whatsoever about lifestyle medicine. I was happily going forward and loving and enjoying general surgery. I love the OR. But as I was going through, one of the things that you will hear a general surgeon say is a chance to cut is a chance to cure. And when you're talking about trauma and acute care surgery, that is actually true.
For sure.
But when you start talking about chronic diseases like diabetes and high blood pressure, and where we interact with those people, we start cutting off toes.
Yeah.
And then the foot and then the leg.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it just that creep right up until the person passes away. And so a chance to cut is not really a chance to cure. You keep them out of the grave immediately because that toe or foot is dead and it has to be removed. But you don't cure anything. And they come back with another dead toe and another dead foot. And it's that continuing cycle. And I was seeing a lot of that. In fact, the zip code where my practice was the area in the United States with the highest per capita amputations due to diabetes.
Wow, wow.
That was in Columbia, South Carolina.
So you're seeing, as a surgeon, a lot of people that you may well have been saying, if only.
Exactly.
If only I'd seen them before and could have educated them.
Exactly.
So now you're actually on that end of the equation.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right.
So tell us a little bit about that. What are you seeing at UT Pines? You know, who are the people that are walking through your doors?
And so these are some of the same people: diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure. But these are the individuals before the toe dies, before the foot is dead, before that diabetic ulcer. And we have that opportunity to, as you well know, reverse these disease processes before they end up causing serious and significant complications. It's an amazing, amazing thing.
It is. Now, here's the big challenge, and you and I both know this, but I'm interested in your perspective at UT Pines, because I know you guys historically have done a lot more than just rendered services for people who walk through your doors. But here's my question. The sad thing is, you know, the person may come in with that ulcer or that gangrenous foot, but they wouldn't come in for diabetes management or to learn how to care for their diabetes. They thought they were just fine with whatever pills they were taking or
right.
the insulin shots they were taking. They felt fine even though their blood sugars were running 250 or 300 or even 400, okay?
Uh-huh.
And so you historically, UT Pines, I remember Dr. Agatha Thrash going throughout the country doing health programs. Is this still part of the vision for UT Pines to take your message beyond the walls of the institution?
Absolutely. That is a key part of what we do. All of the providers at UT Pines go out and do what we call health emphasis weekends at churches, at schools, at different, anywhere we're invited. Anyone who will take us, we will come
okay.
and tell them that there's a better way. So yes, we enjoy that. We have a training program for people who are interested in learning about what we call the medical missionary work. And even our students go out and teach what they've learned so far. So that's a major part of what we do.
You know, as I've looked at these programs at places like you guys run at UT Pines, Eden Valley, we mentioned in the previous segment, I said, you know, this would be amazing training for community health workers.
Absolutely.
Do you have a lot of people who go through the program and then go into that type of work? Or is it more international interest that folks come through your facility?
We've seen a lot of international interest and individuals coming from different countries to learn and then go back to their home countries. But we do have some individuals that come from around the United States that want to maybe do something in their community. And so we do see that as well. The training takes a little bit of time, and so that can be an issue for individuals. But yes, we do see both aspects of that. But we do get more folk coming internationally to go back home and set something up there.
So We talked a little bit about your lifestyle, general surgeon, seeing all these lifestyle preventable or treatable conditions, but there's still a difference between going into the OR every day and having an outpatient practice, surgical practice, and ending up full-time, I presume, at Yuchi Pines? Now, there's got to be more to the story than that.
There is. There's a lot. But it's a long story.
Well, give us a shortened version, because I think it's a fascinating story.
So, like I said, I was looking at these feet and legs that I was putting in buckets and saying, there's got to be a better way, right? There's got to be something better. And I started looking into lifestyle medicine. However, as you said, this is typically primary care. And so I felt convicted that this is something that is very important and this is where the difference would be made. But I didn't think that was for me.
Okay.
So I encouraged my sister, who's an internist, you need to look into this lifestyle medicine
stuff. Did your sister get interested?
She sure did.
Okay.
And she did. She's an internal medicine. She went and got board certified in lifestyle medicine, and she was getting people off of their medications, and that was great. But I was still feeling that conviction that there's something that you need to do.
Okay.
And so during COVID, when the hospitals were cutting back on their elective surgeries, and remember, they considered things elective anything that would not kill you within the next 48 hours.
Wow.
So that means that your colon resection for colon cancer was canceled.
That's crazy.
That was elective. Your mastectomy for breast cancer was canceled because that was elective. So during that period, a lot of surgeons were just sitting on their hands for a while. And so during that time also, the boards for the lifestyle medicine course was put all online because
people couldn't go anywhere.
Exactly. So that's when God said, take this program.
Okay.
So I did it online. I was still working in general surgery, but not doing much surgery. And so I did that online and got board certified in November. And then I got called to Yuchi Pines in February.
So this is February of what year?
2021.
2021. So here we are, summer of 2025.
Yes.
You've been at Yuchi Pines for over 4 years.
I've been at Yuchi Pines for 4 years.
And did you jump right in as the medical director, or was that a...
That's what I was called to do.
Oh, okay.
I had met Dr. Sandoval, and he was leaving to start a new ministry, and he asked me to come and replace him there.
Okay. So how has that journey been?
It's been awesome.
Okay.
It's been awesome. The team that I work with at Yuchi Pines, I have not worked with a team like that before. It's been a wonderful experience. And it's just amazing because my thoughts were, okay, I love the OR and I know this is where God has put me. And now God's put me someplace else, but he put a love for that in me.
Wonderful, wonderful.
So that has been amazing.
So you haven't been going through withdrawal from the operating room?
No, it's been a joy. I've enjoyed every bit of it.
Now, as a general surgeon, do you find that you've brought some of those general surgery skills into the lifestyle medicine clinic if someone has some minor surgical procedures needed?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and that's been fun as well. I have been training some of the other medical staff to do little minor procedures and utilizing the ultrasound and all kind of stuff. So that's been fun as well.
So you've really got a diverse range of services that you're offering there.
Absolutely.
Not too many lifestyle centers have the surgical options available.
That is true. That is true.
So we want to talk about some of the things that have kept you for the last 4 years at Yuchi Pines, maybe some success stories and things, people that have impacted your life. But before we do that, we're going to have to step away briefly. I don't want to leave this segment, though, without telling people how they can get a hold of folks at Yuchi Pines. How do they do that?
Well, they can always check us out on our website, which is yuchipines.org. Again, that's yuchipines.org.
Now, you got to help us because a lot of folks are listening and saying, how do you spell Yuchi, okay?
So that is UCHEEPINES.org.
We got it.
All right.
I got yuchipines.org. So basically, if I go there, I can find out about the lifestyle programs. I can find out about the training programs.
Yes.
And can I even find out your schedule, like when you're traveling around doing these health emphasis weeks, or is that a little tougher to track down?
That you would not be able to find on the website, but you can always give us a call, and the number is 334-855-4764.
Okay, that went by pretty quick for me. Give it one more time.
334-855-4764.
Okay, we'll give that all out again in our next segment, but we do have to step away just briefly. Dr. Weir Cox, Kayleen, is staying by. We've got a final segment in this episode of American Indian and Alaska Native Living coming up right after this. Don't go away.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm just texting him back.
I'm just posting a story.
I'm just changing the song.
I'm just...
No. When it comes to distracted driving, just don't. Sending a text takes your eyes off the road for just 5 seconds, but in that time, your car can travel the length of an entire football field. Any distracted driving just isn't worth it.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
What is a number story?
My number story started with fear and a lack of support, and it has led me to be there for others.
A number story begins in our childhood with ACEs, adverse childhood experiences.
My number story begins with the separation from my father and the emotional abandonment from my mother, and leads to me being a role model to not only myself, but those around me by becoming the person that wasn't there for me.
ACEs are so common, 2/3 of us have one.
My number story begins with drug abuse and homelessness, and leads to realizing that I can live life by my own standards.
A study found the more ACEs, the more likely we may experience a host of serious health effects, physical and mental, but that doesn't need to be the case. Your ACE number is simply an entry point to your own story. Where it leads is up to you.
My number story begins with years of emotional abuse, and leads to peace, clarity, and security in my self-worth.
Take control of where your number story leads at numberstory.org.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back for our final segment of today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Dr. David DeRose, across from me, Dr. Kayleen Weir Cox. Dr. Weir Cox, we've been speaking about your amazing journey from a general surgeon to a lifestyle medicine physician, heading up the medical team at Uchi Pines Institute in Seal, Alabama. If I'm remembering correctly, just across the river from Columbus, Georgia?
Exactly, yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. It's great to have you, and I'm enjoying your story, but I know it takes more than just a sense of calling to keep someone in a place. It basically takes some return on your investment. So what kind of things have you been seeing in the lives of real people that have inspired you to continue on with what you're doing?
You're absolutely right. You need to see results, and that's what keeps you in a place. And that's what I have seen at Uchi Pines. For example, there was a conference just recently where folks who are in the faith to which I belong, the Adventist faith, joined together. The whole world church joined together, the general conference. I was at that conference and a lady came up to me. Well, no, first her husband came up to me, did not know who he was. And he said, "I just want to thank you." And I had no idea who he was. And then he stepped aside and I saw her. And she was a former patient of ours who had breast cancer. and she had stage 3 disease, and she did not want to do chemotherapy. So she came to UT Pines. I encouraged her to do the surgery, which was recommended, which she did do, but she did not do any chemotherapy. So she came, she had treatments beforehand, she had the surgery, she came back for additional treatments. She also had something on her foot that they did not know what it was. It was, you could feel it inside on the foot, but they didn't know whether it was a cyst, or we did not have our ultrasound at that time, so we couldn't ultrasound it. But we did do some treatments to her foot as well. Come to find out, she and her husband are now telling me this story. She's no more breast cancer. The breast cancer was completely gone. But what was in her foot also was an aggressive sarcoma.
Whoa.
That they had no idea. She had been misdiagnosed and told that it was just some type of a cyst. She had had a scan before. She was told it was a cyst. The scan, once they told me the report, was suspicious. But at that time, she was told it was a cyst. And her doctor told her that he is shocked and amazed that it had not progressed at all. And she is absolutely certain that that's because of the treatments that she had at UT Pines before she had, because this was months later that she had come, seen us, we did treatments, and then a couple of months later, she went back to the doctor. So this was maybe 6 months from when they scanned her, and then she went back and they found out actually what it was and did the biopsy. They were able to remove it. She has no cancer, either the breast cancer or that sarcoma. And so those are the type of stories that, and the things that we actually see that are just amazing.
That is really amazing. So basically, if I'm understanding the story right, she's got this aggressive cancer in her foot.
Yes.
And normally, an aggressive cancer is going to grow quickly.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so this would be unusual. I mean, there's some cancers that are more indolent, right? That don't grow as rapidly.
Right.
You might not be as surprised if several months things hadn't changed much.
Right.
But so definitely not the story you'd expect.
Exactly.
And this patient of yours said, hey, I know what the difference was. I went through this comprehensive program at UT Pines.
Yes. That was an amazing story.
That is an amazing story. What about the folks that may not have the stories that are quite as amazing? You know, it's always struck me, if you help someone break free of commercial tobacco,
mm-hmm.
they may never develop lung cancer. They're not all that likely to come back and seek you out and say, you saved my life. You know, you got helped me to stop smoking. But if they develop the lung cancer and you cut out one of their lungs and they survive, they would. It seems a bit ironic that the things that you prevent we're not as grateful for. We can understand that, right? So tell me maybe about some folks that have come in with conditions that may be more pervasive than having two different cancers at the same time. Maybe high blood pressure, mm-hmm. diabetes. Do you see consistently good results with these conditions?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things that we do at UT Pines is we check the guests and the patient's lab work before they start the treatment. So the first day that they come in, they get lab work done so we can see where they are. And then at the end, before they leave, we check the lab work again for two reasons. Number one, we want them to see objective evidence of the difference this is making, right? We let them know, now it's not going to be 100% better in just the 17 days. Sometimes it actually is, but we try to manage those expectations. However, we want them to see that this is making a significant difference. So that's one reason. The other reason is so that if we need to make any adjustments before they go home on what we recommend that they do, we want to be able to do that at the end as well. So we check those labs beforehand, we check those labs at the end, and it's also amazing the differences that we can see, the hemoglobin A1C coming down and the cholesterol even though that's typically a little bit slower, but we can even see that coming down. We see those numbers improving from day 1 to day 17 every time.
No, it's amazing. So I've worked in a number of lifestyle centers myself over the years, and you remind me of a story, some guy who came through the program, and at the end of the program, after he'd seen his lab work, he got up and said, you know, I came here, but I wasn't going to go home and change all my lifestyle. But he said, when I saw that lab work, he said, I said to myself, I'd be a fool not to stick with this program. So it's very reinforcing, isn't it? When it looks like, did they make a mistake? Is this really my blood? But it really is.
Absolutely. That's exactly why we do it.
That is tremendous. I know some of the centers over the years have also done stress tests. I know those aren't as commonly done in medicine in general. Is that anything that you've incorporated at UCHI over the years?
We have not. We will, depending on what the guest comes in or what the patient comes in with, we do EKGs, but we haven't done stress tests on the patients when they come in. We haven't gone down that road.
So now, here's the other question that I think folks want to know. Some of them may come by your website. We want to hear that again in just a moment. But others may never make it down to your beautiful facility. And I want to give you an opportunity to give a few pointers that people could do to help mitigate maybe diseases they already have. Before we do it, though, first of all, give us the website again.
The website, once again, is uchipines.org. That's UCHEEPINES.org.
Okay, and you'd given us a phone number earlier as well. Could you repeat that, please?
That's right. And that phone number is 334-855-4764.
Okay, I've got 334 area code, 855-4764.
That's correct.
And what I read between the lines is not only can folks find out maybe where you're speaking or others on your team, but maybe they can even book you to come out.
They certainly can.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So three quick things. What can someone do to really turn back the clock or prevent disease?
Three quick things. Well, the first thing is drink more water.
Okay.
The vast majority of people in the United States and around the world are just not drinking enough water.
Okay, I'm putting this into practice while you're talking. Keep going.
So start there. Drink more water. The second thing is get outside. Get outside in the fresh air, in the sunshine. And I know that some people are living in the big city. And so if you're someplace where it's nothing but concrete and steel, even in all of the cities in the U.S., there are parks.
Mm.
So get outside where there's some trees and plants.
Okay.
That's number two. And number three is get to bed what you might consider early.
Oh, well, what I consider early, or is there some objective figure of earliness?
What you might consider early. No. So what we would like to say, get to bed at least before 10 o'clock.
Okay.
And some people may be saying, oh my goodness, 10 o'clock. And sometimes it's still daytime, right? In my brain, it's still daytime at 10 o'clock. There's so much I need to do. But getting to bed early is another thing that would be making a huge difference. Those three things alone, there's a whole lot to lifestyle, as you well know, but those three things alone will make a huge difference.
Amazing, amazing. Dr. Kayleen Weir Cox, thank you so much for pulling away and joining us.
You're very welcome. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. Thank you for having me.
Kayleen is the medical director of UCHI Pines Institute, uchipines.org. That's UCHEEPINES. I'm Dr. David DeRose. It's been great to have you as our listeners joining us here virtually in Orlando, Florida, 2025 at the ASI convention. As always, I'm Dr. DeRose wishing you the very best of health.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.